4. So go to James 4, and it's really only two verses. And you say, how can you preach on two verses today? But you know, a rabbi can get up here and speak, and you could just preach about like one verse, one word, and I could go on. And these two verses are really good verses. I mean, they're really chock full of good stuff, as is the whole book of James. You know, as I've mentioned this before, there are some books in the Bible that are really like mystical and like Ezekiel and what's he saying? And there's these crazy creatures and really layers of meaning. And then you get the book of James where he's just kind of like punching you in the face about stuff, right? It's like right there. And it's right there for us again today. Two verses, but a lot of great wisdom. James is writing to fellow Jewish believers that are scattered throughout the known world. They're outside of Israel. They're in all different countries and all different cultures. But what is uniting them, of course, is the Lord, Yeshua. What is uniting them is their belief in who God is and what he's about. And he's trying to instruct them. He's trying to instruct them in the different cultures they're living in. One culture different from the next. But there are commonalities here that we're going to be talking about. But we have been talking about them. You know, he's engaging and instructing with them. We talked weeks ago about a common thing that affects all of us, no matter what kind of culture we're in, no matter what country we're in, no matter what time period we're in, 2,000 years ago or present day. He talked about partiality. He's admonishing his readers not to show favoritism. Remember when we talked about that? It's not because they got it right all the time. And, oh, the people in the Bible and the people around that time of the Bible, they were just so holy. Well, they were just normal people like you and I. He's talking to them about it because they didn't get it right all the time. Just like you and I don't get it right all the time. So there's this commonality here. And we can connect on this because we all struggle with favoritism. He talks about being careful with our tongues, if you remember that sermon. About not being of the world. We've got to be in the world but not of the world. Why? Because they struggled with it. Because we struggle with it. And we struggle with all of these things today as we're trying to make our way in this world that doesn't live for God, that doesn't have the standards and the morals and the ethics and the godliness that we are trying to exhibit in our lives. The text today is about not slandering people, you know, with our speech, not judging others. This is a huge problem. Obviously, it's a huge problem for the non-believing world out there. But it is a huge problem even within the body of Messiah. Huge problem. We need to not speak evil, but to speak life to each other. It's easier said than done, right? We need to recognize what's going on in our hearts when we judge other people. And we have to also be careful and understand when we read Scripture, and I'm going to talk about this in the message today. We see in places in Scripture it says, don't judge, don't judge, don't judge. But yet we also see places in Scripture where it says judge, right? So we have to understand and be able to parse the Word of God and understand the context, which is what we're going to be talking about here. I'm talking about, James is talking about, not judging somebody from a place of pride, from a place of self, from a place of haughtiness, or I've got all the answers and let me impart to you all the things that I know. We need to remember that God and God alone is our righteous judge. And we need to live our lives encouraging each other, strengthening each other, speaking truth and speaking grace to each other and not evil. Let's begin. James 11. Now, I'm going to go through the two verses. And for this first point here, I'm going to stop like right in the first sentence because we can't go through all of verse 11 even because there's so much stuff to talk about at once. James of F4:11a. The first part of verse 11, and it simply says this, do not speak evil against one another, brothers, period. All right, let's talk about that. We've got to stop right there and talk about it. How often do we see people speaking evil against other people? It's everywhere today. Slander is when you speak a, quote, malicious, false, and defamatory statement, end quote. So we got that, right? But most people know what slander is. Now, turn with me to Leviticus chapter 19. We know what slander is simply because we see it all the time. We hear it all the time. We hear it on social media. We hear it on TV shows. We hear it in the business place. We hear it in all parts of the world. If you've been on this earth any length of time, you've dealt with it or heard of it or experienced it even. But we're to do a different thing. We're to be a different way. Leviticus 19, this is the Torah. And in Leviticus, the Lord is instructing Israel, the Jewish people, the nation of Israel, how to live as a nation, how to come together, and how to worship God and love each other and live in relationship with each other, in godly relationship, in covenantal life, not only with God, but with other people. So go to Leviticus 19, verse 16. We're deep in the middle of the Torah here, and he says this, "You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people, and you shall not stand up against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord." Easy enough, simple enough, right? The word for slander here in the Hebrew text is rachil, and it's translated as a slanderer, or many times, you know, in the Old English or with the old liturgy, we read a talebearer. Have you heard that term before? One who tells tales, you know, bears tales to other people about others. It also means an informer. So today, we think of people that do this, right? We think of mean, cruel people that go around and slander people. They inform people about what so-and-so is doing, you know, their busybodies or whatever. That's also gossip. We know that's a huge problem also. People who love to share information about other people with others. But in Judaism, we have a term, and it is called Lashon Hara. And I know most of you have heard of it. Lashon Hara means the evil tongue. That's what it translates as. So this is apropos to talking about not slandering people with speech, right? Lashon Hara means the evil tongue. And it's one who engages in harmful speech that damages the other person, the one that they're speaking about, the one they're doing Lashon Hara against. They're damaging the person. They're speaking against their character. They're speaking against their life. But Lashon Hara is a no-no, and we know it's a no-no. We know it's a no-no when the information is false, right? You're speaking something really false about somebody. You're slandering them. That's a definite no-no. But Lashon Hara is also happens when what you're speaking about the person is true or can be true. It may be said or communicated in a way or at a time that damages the person. That should not be done. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. The book of Ephesians, Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, is instructing us here. And it says in Ephesians 4, 29, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." So, great scripture, powerful. And words are powerful. They can be used, as we all know, as weapons to hurt or damage people, Lashon Hara, or they can be used, our speech, our words, as instruments of shalom, literally instruments of healing to us and to other people. Point number one today is we need to practice godly speech. This is not always easy to do, but this is what the Word of God is telling us. It can be easy to do when we like somebody. You know, I love to tell people that I like. Ooh, you're wonderful, you're this, you're that. And it's so encouraging. We're all encouraged about it. That's the best type of situation. But it's not so easy to do it when somebody's wronged us, to not then speak, you know, eye for eye, tit for tat, that kind of thing. When somebody's treating us badly, you know, maybe somebody says something evil or slanderous about us. What do we want to do? We want to retaliate. We want to say it back to them. But we have to practice godly speech in our lives. Now, turn with me to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, verses 36 and 37. The words here of Yeshua, Messiah, and he says this in Matthew 12, 36. "I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." So we read from this verse, and with all the other verses and many other ones that we haven't even read, we read that words are powerful, that words are weapons or can be weapons, or words can be used to heal people or to condemn people. You'll be justified with those words or you'll be condemned with those words. So this is a very sobering scripture. It should make us stop and think before we speak. Adonai wants us to love him with all of our heart. Yes, we read that all the time. We really try to practice that in our lives every single day. But he also wants us to love others. And it's not just the people we get along with. It's the people that are not so lovable to us, right? It's the Samaritans in our lives. You know who they are. There's Samaritans in our lives. It's to the believers. It's to the unbelievers as well. When the Lord was instructing Israel, turn back to Leviticus 19. We're going to go right back to Leviticus 19, but I want you to turn now to verse 18. We read 16 before. When the Lord was instructing Israel about how to live, how to be a godly society, he put a lot of things about how to treat other people, how to speak to other people in the Torah. And in Leviticus 19, 18, he says this, "You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." Now, if you don't love yourself very much, I can see how your speech might not be so great. But most of us love ourselves and want to love ourselves and treat each other ourselves okay or treat each other ourselves good. So we should use the same measuring stick when we treat other people or speak to other people. We should practice godly speech. Okay, back to James chapter 4. We're going to go back to verse 11 now, and I'm going to read the entire verse. James 4, 11. "Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the Torah and judges the law," the Torah. "But if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge." Okay, so there's two things. There's being a doer of the word, which is what we're called to be, you know, we're called to do. And Israel was called to follow Torah. But there's also the other thing, is to be a judge over people. Now, again, I want to make this disclaimer, and I say this quite a lot, is if we just read the words black and white sometimes, judge people, don't judge people, we tend to see contradictions in the Word of God if we just look at just the words. You know, people pick this book up like they're reading any book, a textbook or a historical book or a fiction book or a nonfiction book. They read the words and that's it. But this is a different book than all those other books. This book contains the words of life, the instructions of life. But so to properly understand the most important book in all of the world, we've got to understand. Don't you think it'd be a good idea to understand the context of when God says things? Because if we understand the context of it, and don't just read it black and white, you know, like wrote, if we understand the context and the intent, what the author, inspired by the Lord at the time, truly meant, and truly meant, God truly meant for us to get, then we understand and we get it. We get it is what being said. Now, case in point right here in James. And I don't have time to go into it, but there's a lot of other scriptures that says we are to judge each other as believers. But it's a godly judgment, right? So we're all sinners. That's true. There are times when you and I need to speak to each other. When I need to speak to you, you need to speak to me. We need to speak to one another and correct each other. It just happens. It has to happen. If we're going to be mature believers, okay? Immature believers are those that say, don't judge me, because then they just go to their immature and bad behavior and expect to be fine. But when we're mature believers, we do at times need to speak the truth, to speak words of correction even to each other in love. You know, that's the whole thing. That's the whole context, in love. The James text is not talking about that at all. It is talking in context about slander, about doing the opposite, about speaking them not from a place of love, but from a place opposite of love, of hate, or other wrong motives. It's with an intent. James is speaking about a time when we speak with an intent to tear people down or to damage people, rather than an intent to build them up or encourage them. Turn to Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. We need to be careful when we tell others they are wrong, because there are times to do it, but we need to be careful. We need to be careful when we're not doing the thing we're telling them to do, right? That's called hypocrisy or being a hypocrite. Matthew 7, 1 through 5. "Judge not that you will not be judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Verse 3, why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that's in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is the log in your own eye? You hypocrite. Oh, there's that word. You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. So you see what the scripture is saying. There are times to judge in love and with correction. Once we take that log out of our eye, we could do that. And then we can point to the speck and in love talk to our brother about it. But we have to be a good witness and we have to be a good testimony. We should not ask people to adhere to a standard that we don't adhere to ourselves. Romans chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Let's go there. Again, another letter, another epistle of Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul. Romans chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3. Therefore, you have no excuse, O man, every one of you who judges. For in passing judgment on another, you condemn yourself, because you, the judge, practice the very same things. We know that the judgment of God rightly falls on those who practice such things. Do you suppose, O man, you who judge those who practice such things, and yet do them yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? So another sobering scripture. Again, this is like James, and these scriptures that are in context with James is a lot of conviction and a lot of let's pause and let's really think before we speak, right? Let's look at another scripture. James, or John, the book of John, chapter 8, verse 7. One verse, book of John. And the context of this verse is, if you remember this, there was a woman that was caught in adultery, and there's a crowd of people around her accusing her and condemning her for this sinful act. And it is sinful, okay? But let's read what Yeshua says as the people were condemning the woman. John 8, 7. As they continued to ask him, he stood up and said to them, let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her. Kind of sounds like pull out the log before you talk about the speck, right? And again, we're not downplaying and saying sin is not sin. Sin is sin. But we have to check our hearts and where we are in our lives before we go around and pointing fingers to others. Let him who is without sin about that thing be the first to throw a stone at her. Now, when we talk about judging others, we talk about when it's done in the wrong way, we have to talk about the intent behind the judgment. Because it just doesn't come out of anywhere where you just throw up your hands and judge somebody. There is an intent that comes behind it. And it's a wrong intent when we're talking about this kind of judgment or slanderous things. And I'm going to tell you, and I qualified this in my message because I was going to use the word, it always, but I said, it almost always, because somebody's going to come up to me and say, Rabbi, this instance, it's not. Okay. So I qualified it. It almost always comes out of pride. Almost always. Maybe it's always, but maybe there's this one time where it's not coming out of pride, but it's most of the time. There's a direct link, and scripture tells us this. We're going to get to this. There's a direct link between judging others in our speech and pride. Why do we judge? It's because we think we know better. Proverbs 3, verse 7. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Now, what's interesting about that verse is it equates being wise in your own eyes, which is prideful, and evil, being evil, doing evil things. So we have to be really careful. Pride, judgment goes all hand in hand. When it is done wrong, it is all about pride, or another way to say that, it's all about the self. I'm going to tell you because I know. Point number two, judging others is rooted in pride. Almost always, there's a qualifier. Remember, we're talking about ungodly judgment, having the wrong intent. Turn to Psalm 59, verse 12. Psalm 59, 12. The wrong intent is when we have pride and we seek to tear somebody down or to do damage to their reputation or their self. But with the right intent, it's meant to encourage, even when there's correction involved. Even like in our lives with the Lord. He corrects us at times, but it's not because he's cruel or he wants to damage us. It's because he wants to build us up and to grow us and to mature us. Psalm 59, 12. For the sin of their mouths, the words of their lips, let them be trapped in their pride. For the cursing and lies that they utter. All of that verse is connected with speech. And there's that word in there in the middle of it, pride. because speech almost always is connected with pride when it's done with the wrong intent. Now, go back to James now, James 4:12. Let's finish out the text today. There is, verse 12, there is only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? Okay. So we shouldn't judge. Why? Because God is the judge, capital T-H-E. He is the judge. The Lord is the one that gave us the Torah. We didn't make this stuff up. You know, in the world today, man makes their own Torah. Did you know that? Man goes out there, and there's any number of little Torahs out there, meaning I can go out if I'm not a believer, or if I don't really am following God, and I can make stuff up that sounds good to me. That's my standard of how everybody else is supposed to act around me, in the world, and you know it happens. I mean, the world is filled with this. So there's the Torah that somebody makes. Then somebody over here makes a set of instructions, because that's what Torah means, about how they think everybody else should live based on what they believe. And so there's all these little Torahs, and everybody's the judge of their little Torah. But there's only one Torah in the Bible, and it was only written by God, not us. Okay? So the guy that wrote it, the one who wrote it, God gets to be the judge of it, not us. Point number three, God is our righteous judge. Now, turn with me to Isaiah 33, verse 22. And there's many scriptures about this. I don't have time to go through all of it. Many scriptures here. Isaiah 33, 22. For the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. He will save us. Now, if you look at that scripture, it says God over and over, or Adonai, or the Lord is the one, not you and me. And again, point number three, God is our righteous judge. This is a really good thing. It's a good thing, and we should be relieved about this, because we're not judged based on other people's Torahs. We're judged based on God's standards and God's Torah. We don't have to live our lives based on what this person says. And you know, this happens all the time where we get into relationships with people in life and they hold us to a certain standard. And that standard may not be a good standard. And that standard may not be God's standard. God has a standard. It's called the Torah, His Word, and we are judged according to God's standard. And that's a good thing, like I said, because He's got the standard, but here's the other thing that's good. The God who created this one standard, the standard of holiness, you should be holy because I am holy, is what God tells Israel. Israel fell short many times from that standard of holiness. Now God, this is the good part here, God could have said, you fell short, you're out. But He doesn't say that. Throughout the entire Bible, Old and New Testament, Tanakh and Brit Hadashah, we read, through all these writings, we read how God is merciful towards us when we fall short of His standard. He could judge us, put us in prison, throw away the key, spiritually speaking, but He doesn't do that. He's not a cruel taskmaster. He's not a dictator. The Bible says, turn to Psalm 67, verse 4. The Bible says He judges all peoples, not just Israel, all of the world, not with cruelty, but with equity. He judges with equity. Psalm 67, 4. Let the nations be glad. This is a good thing. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. And I put this in, I don't know if it's, no, it's not up there. But in your Bibles, if you go to Psalm 67, verse 4, at least in mine, there's that little word at the end of Psalm, verse 4, and it's Selah. Does anybody have Selah in their Bible? And Selah is this word that means rest or pause. Because the Psalms were musical. They were meant to be sung. And so when you have a Selah there, there's like an interlude or there's a pause. And I love that and that's why I kept it in here when I wrote out the scripture, because that should give us a pause, a peaceful and a restful pause. Not to be fearful that we didn't make the standard, we didn't make the cut, we fell short, but a pause, and so we can be glad and sing for joy. That's something to sing for joy about. But here's the thing. We should also leave the judging up to God, because He can do it far better than us, right? Because He's God and we're not. We don't know the full story. You know, we may think we know a situation and go out and want to correct somebody. And sometimes the Holy Spirit prompts you and I, and we need to do that in love. But many times we think we know everything, but we don't know the full story. So we're going to be judging based on what we know, but we only see partially. We may not know what is going on inside of somebody. We may not understand the background behind what they're doing, the hurts they may be carrying, all the problems they may be experiencing. They may be lashing out because of issues, problems, trauma, whatever it is. Now, it doesn't excuse bad behavior, and sin is sin, but we don't know the full story. There's a lot hidden. And many times what we need to do is we need to wait on the Lord to work it all out. He can do that. He's got perfect timing, better than us. Rather than you and I rush in and assign blame and play judge. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, our last scripture today. You know, we want to do the right thing. We want to call people out on things in love, even when we have the right intent, but we have to know that we don't know everything. We don't want to play God. We don't want to judge because that's God's job. 1 Corinthians 4, 5, verse 5. Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Then each one will receive his commendation from God. You know, this scripture kind of really speaks to me because often in my life, I see injustice. And you do too. I see evil out there. I mean, it's so in our face today in many ways and in many contexts and forms. And it just gets you so upset sometimes. You just want to say something. You want to call people out and you want to do this. But we have to remember scriptures like this. We have to know God is the judge. Okay, there's times to speak out, but there's also times to say, all right, God's the judge. And we want everything to be right here on earth as it is in heaven right now. And that's not going to be the case. There is still injustice. There's still sickness. There's still problems. In spite of us wanting something different, it's just not God's timing. But there will be a day, Revelation tells us, when there's no more crying, there's no more sickness, when there is only fairness. And we sang it today, when my faith will be my eyes. I don't have to have faith anymore, because faith is believing without seeing. I'm going to see it right there. I'm going to know it. But until that time, let us take comfort in knowing that God is the judge. Nothing gets past him. He sees it all. And in due time, he will reward and he will condemn. It's on him. Now, this is a very difficult thing because we want to do the right thing. We want to see others do the right thing. And again, I said it can come from a good place. But this is where we need to exercise wisdom. We need to exercise discernment. And we need to allow the Ruach to guide you and I. Maybe there's something that you should say in love and you're not doing it. God may be prompting you to do it. So get in touch with the Holy Spirit, with the Ruach. Pray about it. Should I go talk to that person? And then there's going to be times where you feel so strongly that you should and maybe you shouldn't. This is why in and of ourselves we get into trouble, but with God, in God, with his Spirit, we will be led the proper way. Let's be people of godly speech, judging rightly with the Spirit and through the Spirit, not judging from a place of pride or self, and knowing that God is the righteous and ultimate judge. This is really a word for us today, especially because even though we know it, even though we feel like we do it, we go out there and nobody follows the rules, okay? So we have to be encouraged about how God says to do it, and we just need to keep reiterating that and walking in this way. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you because your word is true. No matter what the world says, no matter what the darkness shows, your word is true. No matter how popular or unpopular it is at times throughout history, your word is true. And Lord, you're instructing us here today through the book of James. You're instructing us to be careful with our speech, to not judge wrongly. We are to judge rightly, but not to judge with a slanderous intent, with a judgy intent, so to speak, because that's your job, Lord. And I pray that you know, we say this, Lord, at funerals, you are the righteous judge. And Lord, that is so true. You are our righteous judge. And I thank you, Lord God, that you are in charge, that you have it all worked out. You have a plan and you have a timing. Lord, help us just to get in line with that and be used as godly instruments of you each and every day. We thank you for this word, Lord God, and we thank you for who you are and what you do in our life every day. In Yeshua's mighty name, amen and amen.